Before he walks away, I want us just to give Johnny a hand for all the hard work he does, honestly. Yes. Yeah, you can stand up. Let him feel good. Such hard work. It's like planning a birthday party every day for 12 hours. I mean, if you've ever had to plan a birthday party for just one of your favorite kids, it's hard, you know? And so, but he had to do it for you guys. And so, God bless you, Johnny, for all your hard work. He certainly loves you and loves the ministry. But I do want to take a moment also for us to give a roaring applause. They didn't hold back. Thank you. All their worship and energy, and give it up for the worship team. Honestly, well done. Well done. I hope never to come after you again. It's very difficult to come after something so good. You feel so much pressure when they're that good. And thank you for leading us in worship. And honestly, praise the Lord that God has blessed that whole family with a spiritual gift of ministering to people. And so thank God. And then I praise the Lord for you guys. You know, it's fun. You guys make it fun, especially all of you who I got a chance to meet and talk and laugh with and cry with, and so I'm just really honored to spend this time with you. Guess what? We're in John 15. I can't believe it. We're still in it. It's like you can't get out, right? We'll never leave, right? So John 15, I want to go through it again just for the sake of a recap. And the Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Verse 19. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you: a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates the Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is written, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. And when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Let me just add one more. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Father, we come to you one more time, asking you for the blessing of your holy word. We thank you in the name of Jesus for your goodness and your kindness. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would move through this place today. Lord, help us. Help us to know you and to understand you and to draw closer to you. We thank you for your word and this chapter and this message. In Jesus' name, amen. He gives him this final statement, right? At least in John 15. He says that you also must testify. It's interesting because I'll show you later on, he will call them to be a witness. But he says in this particular time, you must testify. And the word testify literally means to communicate or provide information that is firsthand to you, right? An experience or information that is firsthand to you. So let me give you a testimony. I am probably, this is my third day out of ICU. And maybe I should pull back a little bit more. I kind of grew up in a church that barely spoke about the Holy Spirit. In fact, when I went to seminary, that was a life-changing experience. In one of my discipleship classes, we had to analyze how many times the Holy Spirit, even just the name Holy Spirit, even showed up in our service. And I thought to myself, this is really cool, so I'll give it to my staff. So I gave one, you met Heather, I gave one paper to Heather and another guy on my staff named Nick and a few others. And I said, hey, just, you know, jot down any time, you know, the Holy Spirit's mentioned, at least for 1 month. That was the project, and I had to write a paper on it. Go seminary. And I remember at the end, there was one time in the whole month. At the same time, just for my own purposes, I would highly recommend, I'm reading this book by Francis Chan called Forgotten God, which is about the Holy Spirit. And you ever had that moment where your conviction turns into embarrassment, right? I was so convicted, but I was so also embarrassed that I somehow, in the whole program of the service, have honestly forgotten the Holy Spirit. So, third day, I'm out of ICU. I'm now in the regular hospital. I'm just going to share something with you. I've not shared this with anybody else besides my bride. I had this moment where, and this happened several times, and I just want to share from a pastor's heart. It's very hard to be a pastor in public because it actually changes the dynamic of things. Let me give you an example. I went out to a dinner. A friend of mine just proposed to his girlfriend, and we went out to go celebrate. And we're at this table, and it's just a mixture of all his friends. And he happens to be in ministry as well. And as we're kind of introducing ourselves, the question is asked, so what do you do? And I knew that my answer would change the table, right? So you may not know this. I also work as an adjunct professor at New York School of the Bible. So I thought, I'll get away with that. I'll just say, I'm a professor. Moron. Of course, what did they ask you? So what do you teach? And I said, well, I teach leadership classes. Where? Now, you can't mask New York School of the Bible, right? I mean, so I said, New York School of the Bible. And I remember another guy just going, the Bible? Are you a pastor? And then I felt in my heart this cringe of, everything changes. Because you say, are you a pastor? The whole table, I mean, there's like 15 of us at this big table. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, whoosh. And I said, yes. And though nothing really changed, you felt all of a sudden like you're the albatross of the group, right? And you felt this dynamic shift. Another example of this was a couple years ago. When I was a kid, I used to DJ. And a couple years later, like years later, I'm at this party with a bunch of friends of mine, and they had a DJ there, and he was just terrible. And so this guy said to me, do you still remember how to do that? I said, well, you know, it's been a long time, but it's like riding a bike. And so I said, I happen to have on a flash drive all this. All right, I'm going to share with you. Just listen. Well, I don't care. You can judge me all you want, but I know you guys don't always listen to Caleb. So let me just be honest with you, right? Come on now, I know you switched the station the moment you see us coming, you know? All your promises. The windows go back up. Look, I'll show my age. You saw that? The windows go back up. Windows go back up, and it's back to. So I love EDM. I really do. And so I happen to have on my flash drive like 1,000, and I'm sitting there. And I said, man, I wonder if I know how to do this. So I'm spinning, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I still remember how to do this. It was all in the fingers. It's like it never left. At the end of it, this lady says, could you do a party for me? And the guy shouts out, no, he's a pastor. And it's like you could almost hear the scratch. Like the turntables went, what? Like a minion voice, what? You know what I mean? And I was just this moment of like, oh. It changed everything. I'm in the hospital, and there was this one night. It was just a really dark moment for me. And I'm just sharing my heart with you. You know, we'll get to the point in the message, but I got all the time I want, I told. And so I'm laying there, a real dark moment, and I'm crying, I'm praying. I'm realizing for the first time, like it really hit me, oh my gosh, nothing's moving. I can't turn my hips, I can't move my legs. They do the same thing every morning. They wake you up and they do, what do you call it, like a skin test, right? They, just like you see on TV, they put this piece of metal against the bottom of your foot. Do you feel that? They want to see if there's any reflex response, you know, like a tickle kind of thing. And there's nothing, and you're watching. Every morning they do this and it's failed. And I'm just sitting there, and, you know, I'm just like, one night it just hit me. I'll never forget it. I'm laying there, and I'm praying. And it's strange because it's a moment in my life where I really didn't know what to say to God. I want healing, but that's kind of obvious. So I don't know what to say. So I did what I was taught to do, confess sins. And so I'm sitting there, and it's funny, when you go through the Google of your life, you start seeing all your sins, like, oh, man, I should have thrown out the garbage, and that's really what caused it. And, shorty passed me, and I looked at her, and that's why I'm here. You're just thinking of all these different reasons as to why you think you're in this state. And the Lord placed on my heart, I want to go there myself, but the Lord placed this on my heart, a sin that I had not realized that was on my heart, that I was doing at the time. And you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I didn't have a Bible with me, by the way, because I didn't think I was going to be in there that long. And so I had no Bible, but I had my phone. But again, I'm in a state of just absolute depression. Have you ever been there? Right? At least some of you. And so Matthew chapter 5:13, it says these words. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town or city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lampstand and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way," listen now, this is important, "in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And my heart broke. Because in me was not the joy of the ministry. Like, I loved the technicalities and the mechanics of the job, but there was no joy of the Lord in the work that I was doing. And I had to confess a sin. God, I have been ashamed to represent who you are before others. And I'm doing this full-blown tear snot. You know, when they're combined, like all your facial orifices are shooting out, and I'm bawling. Now, this is important to understand. I'm by myself, kind of. There's a man on the other side of the room with a curtain, and he was a chatterbox. And I mean, he just follow me along. This is all part of the sermon, I promise you. He would just talk and talk and talk. And he had the same operation, which is also what a thing, right? Same operation, but he got up and would walk around. He had to walk. And every time he'd walk, and his name is Kevin, and every time Kevin walked by, Kevin would be like, "Hey, Grant," because he couldn't say my first name. So he's like, "Hey, Grant, I'm going to go for a walk, buddy." But he would never look at me. And I would think, man, you know how you would turn and just say, "Hey, good morning, how you doing?" Like, Kevin would never look at me. And I'm just thinking, oh, man, this guy's so irritating. Right? And he would talk, man. You couldn't sleep. So when he fell asleep, that was your chance to act go. You know what I mean? Like, you'd hear him snoring and you're like, this is it. This is my chance. Now I can't sleep. Great. Thanks, Kevin. And so I'm crying my eyes out. Eventually, fall asleep. Like clockwork. Next day, nurse comes in. They do the whole check. Fail. Nurse comes in. Have to do my vitals. Draw blood like they normally do every single morning. Nurse comes in. And name's Lisa. Lisa comes in, and what's really cool is she starts to do all this stuff, and Lisa had no idea I was a pastor either. And so she's doing all her vitals and all her checks and all the stuff, you name it, right? And so suddenly another woman comes into the room. And this other woman comes in and she says, "I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you a pastor?" So I just had this moment of repentance, and here's the test. So I go, "Yeah." And she said, "I knew it." Now, I am not a very charismatic guy. So I just kind of sit there and I go, "Yeah, why?" And she said, "Because I felt every time I walked by your room," and this is a great moment to pause. Give me one second. All right, sorry about that. For those of you who are listening online, if you're ever watching this, I just had to tell my wife out loud I love her. But it just took a lot of words to say that. And so she walks into the room and she says, "Are you a pastor?" I say, "Yes." And she says, "I knew it." And she says, "Because every day I walked by the room, I felt the Spirit of God tell me, go and talk to that man in the room." Now, you have to understand, man, I grew up in a very stoic, stodgy church. Word of God only. You know, if you even flex a hip muscle, you can't be here anymore. You know that kind of church, right? You know what I mean? And I'm just being honest with you. Like, you just don't do that kind of church. And so all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and I'm not paying attention. Don't, you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, and she says, can I just interrupt for a moment? And of course, the other nurse is like, of course. And she said, the Lord gave me a word. Interesting, and I believe, I might get my wires crossed. One of the Thessalonians say, of any gifts, ask for prophecy. I'll come back to why that matters. She said, the Lord gave me a message for you. So I'm like, all right. You ever had people give you a message? And you're kind of like, yeah, all right. And they tell you stuff like, the Lord has told me that you're going to have a great life. You know what I'm saying? Like, they give you their opinion on stuff. And so I'm ready for that. And she leans over, right? And I'm kind of seated up. And she leans over and she says, the Lord gave me a message for you. She's very timid. And I said, okay, what is that? And she said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And I said to her, what made you give me that one? And she said, all day, Matthew 5 has been on my mind. She said, can I just read it over you and then pray for you? Now, you have to understand, the other nurse is not a believer, so she's just like. So I said, of course I'm going to say yes, because I just got confirmation that the Lord heard me. So this lady, she opens up the Bible, puts it right between my feet, grabs my feet, and reads the word, you are the salt of the earth. And I am hysterically crying. And she just blessed my whole soul. When she was done, I wrote it, I had to write it down because I thought, I'm going to forget this. I wrote it down, sent an email to my wife right away. I said, you would not believe what just happened. But then I was confronted with something, the Holy Spirit. I mean, how do you then explain that? How do you tell people this story? Because naturally, you have people in the room going, I don't know if that's really true. And you also have people in the room going, oh my goodness, that happens all the time around me. And then you have people in the middle who kind of go, I wish that would happen for me. Because that would make me believe more. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I just think the Lord gave me something just enough for me to say, I am with you. But more than that, I heard what you said last night. I thought the story would end there. I stayed in the hospital 2 more days. And then eventually they sent me off to rehab to start doing physical therapy and so on. Now, you remember I mentioned before I took an x-ray? So the woman who took my x-ray is a believer. She was sent by the very woman who prayed for me to remind me that the Lord was still with me. This is in 2 totally different locations. And I said to the second woman now, the x-ray tech, I said, what made you decide to pray for me and all of that? She said, I was sent by Chris. Did you meet Chris? And I said, yes, I met her. That woman prayed over me. She said, well, Chris is a good friend. She's in my Bible study. And she said, Pastor Grant is on his way. Cover him in prayer. Isn't that crazy? And I was confronted again by something so important, the supernatural nature of an almighty supernatural God. And Jesus tells his disciples these important words. He says to them, you must testify. Now, why does that matter? Let me tell you what happened. So the story doesn't end there. After Chris left, she's done praying for me. The other nurse is still freaked out. I mean, she doesn't even know what to do with my vitals, right? I'm just blood spurting. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm just, no, she really is like, wow, what just happened? I said, listen, I don't even know. So she takes the vitals, she leaves, all done. Kevin's next to me. Kevin shouts out, "Yo, Grant, you a pastor?" "Yeah." "Well, why didn't you say something?" And I said, "I don't know, Kevin." And Kevin says, "Is the door shut?" I said, "Yes," because I'm by the door. He's by the window. And he says, "I've done so many stupid things in my life, and now I'm an old man." And he goes, "I've always wanted to give my life to Jesus, but I didn't know how until now." And he says, "Hey, Grant." I go, "Yeah." He's like, and just like this, he says this, a total rebuke on my soul. He says, "Hey, Grant." "Yeah." "Can I pray? And you just tell me if I do it right?" And I said, "Sure." He says, "Because I don't know anything in the Bible. I'm blind." And that's why he's been walking back and forth that I didn't know. And can you just imagine the meltdown I'm having between this curtain? And I'm just like, "Yeah, Kevin, pray." And I tell you, I always say he's the one I led to Christ by accident. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't intentionally walk in with the Romans road to salvation. You know what I mean? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, I didn't get to do any of that stuff. Kevin just turned around and just said, "Jesus, I don't know what to say, but I know I messed up." And he goes, "But I wanna have what he has. I wanna know you, Jesus." And then he said some stuff after that I fell out. I mean, it was just, it's crazy. And now I'm still in touch with this man over and over. We call each other. And I had a moment. I said, "All right, God, all right. I don't know how this is going to turn out." I knew at that moment already I couldn't get back into my church. So I said, "I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'll just follow you, even if it's on wheels with lights." You know what I mean? Like, "I'll do whatever I can, but I'll testify about your goodness and your mercy, even if it's from the chair. I don't know if my healing's going to come where walking will be, but I tell you what, I am a lot better than I was back then." And why is that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I had never, in my 20 plus years of ministry, I had never met the supernatural nature of God so in my face. I'm sure he's done stuff that I never paid attention before, but I've never seen it so in my face the way I saw it back then, a year and a half ago, in a hospital bed. And you think, like Joseph, that you're forgotten, right? And I'm telling you, the Lord hears you in your quiet place. He hears you when your mouth can't open to say something. He hears your soul cry. And I pray that he confirms it to you. Now, let me go back to the text, because he tells them, "You must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Can you jump to Acts chapter 1 for a moment? I want to show you a little bit more as I share a little bit more. Acts chapter 1, if you'd go there for a moment, right? He says, let me go from verse 4. And this is the resurrected Christ sitting down with his disciples. And he says, it says here, "On one occasion, while he," Jesus, "was eating with them, he gave them this command." He's told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait." Don't do nothing. Don't go anywhere. I need you to wait for the gift. What a description for the Holy Spirit. "For the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about." When? Back in John 15. "But I need you to stay put. Don't go anywhere. Wait until the Spirit." Now listen, some of you guys just need to get this in your soul. Don't do nothing until the Spirit leads you. Don't do nothing. Don't move because somebody else told you to move. Don't you move because your pastor told you to move. And don't you move because you saw a great message online or whatever the case, or you read a fantastic book and it told you to move. Don't you move until the Spirit confirms within you it is time for you to move. Until then, learn the art of the spiritual discipline of wait. Then watch this. He says, for John baptized with water, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Still no timeline. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm going to call you back in a couple of days. When, Dad? I don't know. Just hang out for a bit. It's going to be a while. Doesn't even tell him it's going to be a while. It's a few days. By the way, a few days is not like our few days, like 2 days. It doesn't mean that. It just means sit around and wait. But watch this. But they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, at what, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? So they're thinking, now that you're back, you're going to create this wonderful kingdom of Israel. And obviously, the Lord tells them, not the way you think it will be, right? He says this to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But watch this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be, now the words change, my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to be my witnesses around the people you know and the people you don't like. Like, I would have been happy, Lord, if you left Samaria out. But he says, no, you're going to testify about Jesus Christ to the people you love and the people you don't love, to the people who you enjoy and the people who are hard to love, to the people you're used to and the people you're not used to, the people who look like you and to the people who don't look like you, to the people who are in your country and to the people who are not in your country. You are not going to stay here. You are going to take this good news and bring it to other places. Even Samaria, and he says to the ends of the earth, even Jamaica. It's pretty cool. And then he left. Verse 12, let me go there. I want to show you something. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem on the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Then he lists all the disciples that are there. Verse 14, let's jump down to that. Watch this. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And his brothers, Jimmy and Jude. But they all gathered together, 120 of them, for prayer. By calculations, it's about 10 days. Every day, the Spirit led them. And they didn't even know it, but every day they prayed, waiting for, listen, they learned the spiritual discipline of the art of waiting. They waited until the Spirit showed up. They waited. Now, we want the power of the Holy Spirit that's in Romans 12. We want, not Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. We want that power of the Holy Spirit and all of the fun stuff, you know what I mean, the speaking in tongues and all the sensational things that happen, and we want it to happen right now without the wait. And by the way, we also want it without the prayer. Because we've seemed to forgotten that Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us that the art form of fighting Satan is prayer. It's not more doing, it's more praying. I know how to defeat the devil, I'll just serve more. No, that's wrong. You know how you defeat the devil? Talk to the Lord more. Get, as Hebrews says, get confidence, be in his presence and ask. Ask for his will. Ask for his wisdom. And once you get that, then whatever you ask in his name, Jesus will keep that promise of John 15. Whatever you ask, it will be given to you. But you got to learn the art of prayer and waiting. Prayer and waiting. Prayer and waiting. And prayer and waiting. I tell my church all the time, only two people come to prayer meeting. People who want to and people who have to. Most of the time, it's the people who have to. God has done something in their life that says, you know what? You're going to pray now. We are going to have very long conversations because I'm not going to fix this problem right now. I'm not going to suddenly, in Jesus' name, solve your issues. What I'm going to do is just bring you to your knees and teach you how to ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you. And then in Jesus' name, I'll do whatever you want. But you need the Spirit of God. Paul gives us the list in 1 Corinthians 12. And then for some reason, even in some denominations, for some reason, we've missed the fact that none of it matters unless there's love. I mean, really, none of it matters. I've worked with people in hospitality that are atrociously mean. They bring food, we eat, it's delicious, but they hate your guts because of the mess you make. They're cleaning up your face while you're eating because they can't stand you and they hate being there. And I teach leadership courses all the time, and I said, listen, never ever hire somebody, I don't care what their gifts are, if their attitude's bad. If they can't relate to the people of God, there's no Christ in them, don't put them in a position. Because they're not walking by the Spirit, but they're so talented though. That's fine, let them go give the talent to the world. But we want people who love Jesus and love others. I don't even care if they don't do the work well. If they got a good attitude, you know what they'll be? They'll be didactic, they'll be teachable. Right. What did I do wrong, Pastor? Well, this was should done. Oh man, I didn't know that. All right, I got you. I'll do it. They'll fail all the time and you still get to pick them up, but their attitude is good. You follow me? And we get so caught up in asking the Spirit to give us these certain gifts or whatever the gifts may be. What you should ask the Holy Spirit for is give me love. Give me love. Give me love. Give me the fruit. Give me that spiritual fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. Give me those things. That's what I want. I want gentleness, Lord. I want self-control. My wife gets at you and I'm ready to go back. Give me the fruit of the Spirit that gives me self-control. Because if my wife is going at me, speaking in tongues is not going to help in the middle of an argument. But what's going to help is a gentle spirit. What's going to help is self-control. What's going to help is to be reminded I need to seek mercy. Seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly with my wife. You follow? And so we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit all the time, but the power of the Holy Spirit is his ability to place in us something we don't have, and that is a deep love for one another and a love for Jesus Christ. He's always pointing us back to the Word of God in Christ Jesus. And so God showed up in my life big time in a quiet place, in the silence, reminding me by the power of his Holy Spirit that I am still loved. And I'm telling you the truth, so are you. You are still loved. And by the way, you are still loved, and it has nothing to do with what you have done. I know you feel like you've served for so many years, God ought to, but it has nothing to do with what you've done. That's a gift of the Spirit. But God loves you because he made you. Simply put, he made you. Go back one last time to John 15. I'm sorry, we're going to go to John 16. Just so you know, chapters and verse numbers are not inspired, right? The Word of God is, right? They're just not inspired. If it were me, it would be go to John chapter 15, verse 28, but they made it 16, verse 1. Fine, right? But he says this final thing. Why does Jesus tell us to abide in him? Why does he tell us to remain in him? Why does he tell us that we'll be pruned and that there's a gardener who's pruning? And why does he warn us about the hatred of the world? And why does he tell us that we must produce fruit of righteousness, but also fruit of the gospel? It's all this summed up into one. All this I have told you so that you would not fall away. Now, let me be clear. This does not mean a loss of salvation. It means a loss of trust. I want to be clear. You can't lose what you gave away. John chapter 10. You don't hold your soul. You gave it to Jesus. And both he and the Father has your soul, and he's holding on to it. But what happens is along the way, we lose our trust in him, and our faith can waver like waves of ocean, right? And he says, I tell you all these things so you wouldn't fall away, where you wouldn't wander off the path completely. It's so that you would know that God is with you. And I want to just sum up my message in this manner. Jesus wants to be with you, and the way he does it is through the Holy Spirit. But he also wants you to want to be with him too. And that's where our walk is tested, so that you won't fall away, so that you would always experience the love of God, even when things don't go the way you planned, even when there's grief and loss, even when the way is barren and the desert is hot and the wastelands are cold. God still walks with you. He just wants you to walk with him too. And he says, I want you to know this, church. I gave you John 15 for a reason. Why? So you wouldn't fall away. So you wouldn't be discouraged to the point where you lose your trust in him. Do I argue with God? Oh, yeah. What I have learned in my ordeal is to be completely honest with him. None of this Christianese stuff we have, we don't talk that way anymore. We have that end of Jonah conversation. I'm still mad. And God still loves him. And I'm like, you know what? There are times I'm like, God, I don't know why you do this. I even remember one night I went to bed. I'm like, I'm not even going to pray. And I didn't. And can I tell you guys, I woke up the next morning because he's not Zeus. You're not going to pray. I've been waiting for this moment all my, no. He's not Zeus. He's greater. He loves. He loves, completely loves. And I felt in my soul, he just says, I understand. He knows. He saw his son in the garden. He heard what his son said. Let this cup pass, not my will, but your will. But if it was my will, I'd let the cup pass. But I'm going to trust you even in this garden. He saw the agitation of his son. Can you not pray with me just for a moment, just for the night? Can't you just stay up and pray with me? But we're so tired, though. You know when your friends aren't with you? And when you go through trauma, right, your friends start to move away, and some friends come back into the picture, and he's watching as his friends aren't with him anymore. Can you just pray with me? He goes back and he prays some more. And the Lord heard that trauma, and guess what the Lord did? Nothing, because Isaiah told him he was going to do nothing. It pleased the Lord to watch and to bruise him, to see him suffer. For what? Because what he was going to accomplish in his broken state would save many. The trauma that Christ will go through will be the fruit of the world. And so I want to encourage you. With this one last thought. Follow me one more time. Romans chapter 8. And this is it. Romans 8. By the way, you want to know more about the Spirit, read Romans chapter 8. But I just want to take you all the way down to verse 38. These two passages, these two verses, this is my life verse. Years ago, the Lord reminded me of this when I was just steep in this sin, and I thought there's no way God could love me anymore, right? I was struggling with an issue that I couldn't get out of, and I just felt like there's no way that God could love me anymore. And I just happened to be reading through the book of Romans. And I got to this passage and I got stuck with the first four words. For I am convinced. And I stopped for a moment and realized the Apostle Paul just admitted a truth. I wasn't always convinced. We get to the you know, neither death nor life yet. But wait a second. He wasn't convinced at that point. But he finally reached a point in his journey where he became convinced of a truth that he couldn't shake. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation," because if he added more to the list, it would be such a long book, "will be able to," watch this, "separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing could separate us. And Paul is proof of that, and I want to encourage you today. Nothing in the world, absolutely nothing. But Pastor, what about nothing? Absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. Can you say that? Why'd you just say nothing? I just said nothing. Nothing in the world can separate you from the love of God. Oh man, praise the Lord. Nothing can separate you. Folks, I just want to tell you, I'm so grateful to be able to spend this whole week with you, to be able to talk with you, and to enjoy life this week with you. Thank you for loving on me and my family. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity just to remind you there's nothing that's going to separate you from the love of God. And I'm grateful to wheel around with you, to pop a wheelie with you on this chair. Me and my chair say thank you very, very much. I already love you. Look forward to seeing you sometime soon in the future. But until then, you got Christ and the Spirit of God with you. Walk in newness of life with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And Lord, I pray that what you'd give us today is the spirit of love and a spirit of truth. Help us to love one another. Help us, Lord, that when people see us, they see the love of Christ in us. Help us, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that people will see the Spirit of God in us, that the Spirit of God would exude from us. And Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us that when the pruning process begins, and as we go through the pruning, help us, Spirit of God, to remain. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.